According to a Turkish proverb, coffee should be black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. It's a brew that's been around for centuries. In this country, taking a break to drink it happened a bit more recently. Continuing our series, Present at the Creation, on the origins of American cultural icons, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg traces the history of the coffee break.
The very first coffee break probably took place before 1000 AD in Abyssinia, today's Ethiopia. Legend has it that a goat herd named Kaldi noticed his goats dancing around on their skinny hind legs. Then he noticed the goats had eaten some red berries. Kaldi tried the berries, he started dancing too, and so coffee break dancing was born. Leap forward 1,000 years to the NPR cafeteria.
Oscar, I'm desperate for a cup of coffee. Do you have a French roast this morning?
French roast?
Yeah.
We don't take coffee breaks around here. We trundle the coffee back to our desks and bury our heads in the pressing events of the day. But we do account for some of the 350 million cups of coffee Americans drink daily. Americans are hooked on coffee.
There's no coffee!
No coffee!
The dependency goes back to the beginnings of our nation. In 1773, the Boston Tea Party made drinking coffee a patriotic duty. By 1971, the first Starbucks just dusted the duty with cinnamon. The story of coffee is long and global. After the dancing goats, 13th century Arabians roasted the beans, brewed them, and found it eased menstrual cramps. The first coffee shop opened in 15th century Constantinople. The Turks thought coffee was an aphrodisiac. In 1668, coffee replaced beer as New York City's favorite breakfast drink. In the 1700s in Leipzig, J.S. Bach wrote this cantata about coffee. What she's singing is, how sweet the coffee tastes, more delicious than 1,000 kisses, mellower than Muscatel wine. Coffee, coffee, I must have, and if someone wishes to give me a treat, then pour me out some coffee.
Can I have a double latte tall with non-fat milk?
The ritual of taking a break for coffee at the American workplace began in the last century.
100 years ago, in 1902, Barkalo Manufacturing Company, based in Buffalo, New York, started giving its employees coffee breaks. And to our knowledge, that was the first time that had ever happened in American industry.
Wayne Stevens is CEO of Barca Lounger. They make reclining chairs. The company's based in Rocky Mount, North Carolina now, but it began in Buffalo as the Barcolo Furniture Company. The company's historical records are somewhat sketchy, but Wayne Stevens did manage to find a 1965 newspaper article by the financial editor of United Press International, and you know how reliable they are. In this article, a former Barcolo vice president was quoted by UPI thusly.
The employees felt like they needed a mid-morning and mid-afternoon break from the time they got to work at about 8 o'clock. After riding their bicycle or taking the trolley to work, they were pretty worn out by lunchtime, and one of the employees volunteered to heat the coffee up on a kerosene-fueled hot plate. The employees paid for the coffee, 5 cents per worker. That apparently supplied the coffee for several weeks. And started taking, obviously with the approval of management, about a 10 or a 15 mid-morning and mid-afternoon coffee break.
And who was that worker who was nominated to make the coffee?
She was the only female employee in the plant. So I hope there wasn't any stereotyping going on there.
It wasn't called a coffee break in 1902. That phrase didn't pop up until 1952 in a Pan-American Coffee Bureau ad campaign that went, Give yourself a coffee break and get what coffee gives to you. But in the boiler room of the Barcolo Company in Buffalo, they were brewing up the fixins for the first official coffee break in history in 1902. except for what was happening in another part of Buffalo at the Larkin Company.
The Larkin Company offered free coffee to employees in October 1901.
1901! Ta-da! A coffee break counterclaim discovered by Howard Stanger, an historian of industrial relations at Canisius College in Buffalo. Professor Stanger is an expert on the now-defunct Larkin Company, which started by producing soap and ended up as a big mail-order house. Leafing through the Larkin ledgers, Howard Stanger found the 1901 entry on free coffee to employees. Larkin and Barkalow did business together. It's possible that Larkin gave free coffee to workers but didn't give them time out to drink it. It's possible someone at Larkin mentioned the free coffee to someone at Barkalow and Barkalow turned the idea into a coffee break. When you're talking coffee, anything is possible. We do know that the workplace at the end of the 19th century was pretty dreary.
There were frequent wage cuts. There was very little job security and few benefits. Unions, for the most part, outside of the skilled trades, were virtually non-existent.
There were long hours, dangerous working conditions, dirt, noise. But as the century turned, matters began to improve. Social reform was in the air. Legislation emerged to create a minimum wage and workers' compensation. And companies like Barkalow and Larkin reflected the new working values. They installed in-house lunchrooms, restrooms where workers could get away from the drudgery for a while. Partly, the reforms were designed to keep the unions out. But the workplace was changing, and the coffee break became part of the change. Whether the break first came at Barkalow or Larkin, there is one incontrovertible coffee break fact, as rich and strong as your finest cup of Java. The very first coffee break happened at a workplace in Buffalo, New York.
Mr. Stanger, finally, it seems to me, Buffalo has something that the city can brag about. I remember years ago it called itself Buffalo, the city of no illusions. But here is the place where McKinley was shot, where most Super Bowl losses have been suffered, and no one can forget that mean line from the musical A Chorus Line, committing suicide in Buffalo is a redundancy. So now if you can claim, if you can claim that the coffee break was invented there, why, it's a redemption, isn't it?
I'm not a big booster of the city, but I think we can make that claim and let people say otherwise.
Do you like coffee, Mr. Stanger?
I drink tea. I drink tea.
Whatever your beverage of choice, lift a cup for Buffalo today, will you? I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Java job, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me.
Songs, pictures, and more stories about coffee are at npr.org.
I love Java, sweet and high.